Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. Today's podcast features a sermon from Senior Pastor Jerry Barber on prayer that was preached to kick off a special week of prayer at Harvest on September 27th, 2020. Praying together is at the heart of God's design for the church. So let's allow the Word of God to teach us today.
In 1979, a man named John Stott wrote a commentary on the book of Ephesians, and he uttered a very important statement. Beneath surface appearances, an unseen spiritual battle is raging. That is one of the major reasons we are introducing today a special emphasis for next week. This coming week, from Sunday, September 27th, to Saturday, October 3rd, is a very special week of prayer at Harvest Community Church. We're calling it the ABCs of prayer. It's one concentrated week of prayer, and it's focused on that little acrostic of ABCs. All of God's people. We're not going to pray for everywhere. We're not going to have a chance to name them all by names, but we're going to name every harvester. B, boldness to proclaim the gospel. Every day, we're going to pray for at least two of our vocational missionaries and also all the harvesters who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then C is the church. We are going to pray for the church. Pray with the church as God leads you. Now, there are a lot of different ways to participate, but let me mention three of them. First of all, it's just on your own. We want to encourage everybody, regardless of what we're doing at church-wide, just find someone to pray with every day from Sunday through Saturday. It can be on the phone, in person, you know, Zoom, whatever. Secondly, submit a prayer request. You go to our website, and there'll be a thing on this ABCs of Prayer, and it'll be easy, just one button, and you can submit a prayer request for all the people that are praying next week to be a part of that. And then, thirdly, you can join some different church-wide prayer events. There'll be special prayer events every single day. We have seven elders in this church, and every day one of those elders will be leading different types of prayer events, and we're excited about what's going to happen there. Now, this ABC's emphasis of prayer finds its foundation in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. So let me invite your attention there. The Apostle Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Now, let's talk about the context of Ephesians 6, 18, and 20. Normally, I say that in a singular, the context. But today, let's talk about the context. There are more than one context. There's a broader one and a narrow one, or the immediate one. The broader one is this occurs near the end, at the very end, in fact, of the letter of Ephesians that was written to the Ephesians. There are six chapters 1 through 6, and it's all about blessings in Christ. It's about all, you know, Paul opened the Ephesians, you know, praise God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then we just get, you know, all of them named: redemption, salvation, forgiveness of sins, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the building up of the body of Christ between Jews and Gentiles. And it just, For chapter after chapter, Paul just talks about all the rich blessings that Christians have because God is such a great, awesome God. And then in the second part of Ephesians, he starts talking about responding to those blessings in various ways that you do it. So we're picking up just today because of this special emphasis. We're picking up right there in verse 18 of chapter 6. But we can't read 6:18 without understanding what comes before it in all of Ephesians. And what comes before it is this amazing plethora of blessings that God has given us. So we shouldn't think of the prayer that's called for in Ephesians 6:18 as something's like, oh, it's all up to us to pray so we can get God's blessing. No, God has already blessed us. He's already made us in Christ, united in Christ. That in Christ is such a important theme in all of Paul's writing, and especially in Ephesians. So in Christ, we have this great position. And now Ephesians 6 responds to it as we pray. Now, the immediate context is the seven verses that lead up to it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul creates this image of a soldier, and it talks about we're in a spiritual battle. And the context is the God-given resources for the spiritual battle. And according to the Bible, Christians have three enemies. The world system, you know, society's values are so different than God's values. Two, the flesh, we are weak in ourselves. And three, the devil. Satan has a lot of different schemes that he uses against Christians. He causes doubts, questions God's word and goodness. He lies. He encourages deception. He hinders God's work. He tempts us. He causes division. He blinds unbelievers to the truth of the gospel. He can be allowed by God to afflict people at times. And he accuses Christians before God. Ephesians 6 is a chapter about how to overcome that strong enemy, Satan. Paul, the author, is telling believers to appropriate the spiritual weapons that God has given them in verses 10 to 17. Now, immediately following that description of soldiers taking up all their weapons and their armor, we read this call to pray. And pray in the Spirit. Prayer's not another weapon, but it's kind of what binds them all together. So that's the immediate context. Let me summarize this. Considering the broader context and the immediate context, prayer is a response to the grace of God. Prayer is a response to the grace of God. Prayer's not an obligation. It's not, if you think of prayer only as an obligation, certainly we are called and there's a sense in which it is an obligation, but fundamentally, if that's the way you think of prayer, you're going to think totally differently about it than God wants you to think about it. Prayer is responding to God's grace. God has done all this for you and me. And what do we do in response? We pray, we praise Him, and we pray for others, both inside and outside the family of God. Prayer is a response to God's grace. I think if you really come to understand that, my guess is it'll revolutionize your prayer life. In fact, it can revolutionize your entire Christian life and our church if we understand that the things we do for God are out of grace. Well, this passage in verses 18 to 20 talk about what prayer accomplishes. It talks about how God uses prayer. So let me mention two major things in this passage of Ephesians 18 to 20 that prayer accomplishes. First of all, in prayer, we support God's people in their spiritual battle. Verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, you notice I've underlined there, pray and be alert. They're translated legitimately as commands. But the original form of them, they're participles. A participle normally doesn't give us the main action in a sentence. It supports the main verb. And let me show you how this works. Let me tell you where the main verb is. And to do that, we've got to go back up to verses 13 and 14. So in this armor, this description of armor, Paul says in verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And that is a main verb. That is a command. That's an imperative. Stand firm. And then he proceeds to start talking about how we are to stand firm. And over the next few verses, he gives various ways to stand firm, including our text for today, verse 18, which says, pray in the Spirit and be alert. So the stand firm is the main verb, and it is supported by these two very, very important participles. Let me picture it this way without all of the words of those verses in there. On this screen, you can see stand firm in verse 14 is the main verb, and then praying and keeping alert, those are put together. It's two words, but it's one concept that's clearly related to each other. These two words, they're participles, and see, you almost could say, by putting that arrow on the screen, stand firm by praying and keeping alert. That is how we stand firm, by taking on this armor, and we have to do it in a spirit of dependence and humility before God. So that's praying, which is prayer shows our dependence and humility on God. Humility before God, and being alert. Again, prayer is not another weapon that's added to the others, but that which is to be pervasive in the spiritual battle. It is the one thing that is to be used that makes all these other weapons most effective. It's how we appropriate God's armor and draw on His strength. So praying and being alert. Spiritual alertness is so important in the Bible. Samson, his hair was cut while he slept. Saul's spear was stolen by David when he slept. Jesus told his first disciples, watch and pray. It is so easy to drift spiritually, to coast, to take God for granted, to become complacent. Spiritual alertness is vital to our prayer lives. I agree with John Stott, who said, without prayer, we are much too feeble to stand against the might of the forces of evil. But praise God that with alertness and prayer, the opposite is true. No doubt about that. If we are alert in prayer, God will help us. So let's walk through these verses together. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers is both intimate and important in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 18, we are united in access to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. In 2:22, we're built into God's dwelling place in the Spirit. In 5:18, we're called to be filled with the Spirit. And now here we are to pray in the Spirit. A.T. Lincoln describes this as prayer that is inspired, guided, and made effective through the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, that reminds us of some of Paul's other statements on prayer, about prayer happening all the time. Philippians 1:4, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. Or Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. And, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. I confess, my tendency is to pray on some occasions, or maybe many occasions. I want to grow more to be like what Paul is setting forth here, where we pray on all occasions, all kinds of occasions. And again, a week of prayer, a concentrated effort, gives us a great chance to get that booster shot. I had to get a booster shot recently. We have a granddaughter who's beautiful and wonderful, and I was informed that the pediatrician wanted all the grandparents to make sure they were up to date on their flu shots and their Tdaps. And I checked, and it was 10 years to the date that I'd had, to the month that I'd had my last tetanus shot. So I got one. That boost, I needed just a little bit of boost. And that's kind of what a week of prayer can do for us. We can learn to pray on all occasions. Well, the verse continues with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer's not just one thing. Sometimes we make it one thing. Again, the tendency is to make it, oh, please for help. The only time we pray is when we're in trouble, when we feel like we need something from God. But prayer is designed to be so many different things. And I like to use a hand, just five of the different aspects of prayer. There actually are more than this, but these are some of the major ones that help us. There's worship. We worship God in our prayers. We use prayer as a way to recount God's character and his goodness, who he is, and we give him thanks. So worship relates more to who God is. Thanks relates more to what he has done for us. And then confession. Prayer is also confessing our sins. Prayer is petition. That's where we ask God for our needs. And then that last one is prayer's intercession. That's when we pray for the needs of others. Paul said, pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, there are four instances in this verse of all or always. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Always keep praying and praying for all the Lord's people. Well, as we think about that, as we think about praying for all the Lord's people, it's not an individualistic picture that's here. It's corporate. Victory in the Christian life does not come alone, but in the context of a body of people that are praying for each other. Like the word, prayer is crucial in overcoming temptation and in effective evangelism. You know, we're in America, we read everything individualistically, and we tend to look at the Bible that way. And we look at a passage like Ephesians 6, and you see this armor, and our first tendency is to say, oh yeah, that's me, and that's my individual armor, and that's all about how I can walk with the Lord and be protected. And certainly there is individual relevance to it. But you know something? Every one of the commands through this Ephesians 6 about the armor and all of that, they're in the plural. Every one of them. It's about doing something collectively as a church, as God's people together put on their armor and stand together. The Christian walk is something we do best together. And a crucial part of that is praying for each other. I need you, and you need your brother and sister in the Lord. And they need you, and you need me, and we need each other. And this is how God has designed the body to work, to love each other and minister in many ways, and especially in prayer. So yes, in prayer, we support God's people in their spiritual battle. And the second thing that prayer accomplishes in this passage, in prayer, we support the spread of the gospel. And that's found in verses 19 and 20. Paul writes, pray for me, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You know, it's interesting. Modern day ambassadors are treated very well. They're usually treated with the utmost respect and honor. And I think that was probably true in the first century as well. But that's not the case with ambassadors for the gospel. Paul was an ambassador for the gospel. An ambassador, what does an ambassador do? They represent one entity to another, one country to another. I'm here to represent. We're God's ambassadors. Paul was God's ambassador, representing God to the world. And yet he said, I'm an ambassador in change. In chains. Ephesians is one of the so-called prison epistles. Paul was under arrest, probably house arrest, when he wrote to the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians. Roman soldiers were chained to him, and he wanted to declare the gospel even to them. He had been out preaching and evangelizing and frontier missions work, and yet now he's chained, and he wanted to share the gospel with all those shifts of prisoners. We know, if you read Philippians, you find that out. He said, hey, the whole Praetorium Guard knows that I'm in chain for Christ. It's not my wrongdoing. I mean, I'm thinking all these prisoners or all these guards are latched on to him. And Paul's saying, hey, did I ever tell you about the time I was on the road to Damascus and I saw Jesus Christ? So, and Paul, of course, had other visitors, and while he was under house arrest, and he continued for 2 years sharing the gospel. And what does he ask for? Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. Now, the word fearlessly, which appears in both 19 and 20, it means freedom of complete confidence. And it related in that culture to frankness, plain speech that would not conceal anything, but would be courageous and bold, especially in the presence of people of high rank. So, isn't it amazing that while Paul's in prison, while he's chained, and he's asking God's people to pray for him, what he asks them to pray for and what he doesn't say, pray that I can be free. Oh, I just want to be free. I want to get released. I admit, if I were in prison for preaching, I'd probably want people to pray that I would be free. But notice what Paul prays for. He prays that I can declare the gospel freely, the gospel boldly, clearly, fearlessly, with freedom and with confidence. That's what Paul is interested in. Paul was, of course, diligent in praying for people throughout his ministry and his life. I mean, we see this in many of his letters. He often says, I pray for you regularly, I pray for you often, every time I remember you, et cetera, et cetera. But he also was one who asked believers to pray for him and his gospel ministry. For instance, 2 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Or 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. The ministry that God gave Paul was to make known the mystery of the gospel. And he's praying that here, asking them to pray for that in verse 19 and 20. There are similarities and differences between us and Paul. The difference is we are not apostles. We are not those original founders of the church. And there aren't any apostles in that sense today. But there is a similarity. For every believer today, though you're not an apostle, God still wants you to share and proclaim the gospel to others with your lives, your good deeds, and your words. So, the original meaning of this text, if we're looking at the meaning of it, it would be Paul is asking the Ephesian believers to pray for his protection and ministry as an apostle as he proclaims the mystery of the gospel. But we legitimately apply that now by encouraging you to pray for every Christian that is proclaiming the gospel. Now, which Christians are proclaiming the gospel? It's kind of a loaded question, right? A rhetorical question. Biblically, every Christian proclaims the gospel. Now, of course, we will pray during this week of prayer and throughout the course of our church life. We will pray for frontline vocational missionaries whose lives are given over All their time is given over to sharing the good news about Jesus, and that's a key part of it. That's a key way to apply it. But we don't want to leave out the average, ordinary, everyday believer proclaiming the gospel. So here is God's word for us from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. God wants members of the body of Christ to support each other always, especially in prayer. There are a lot of ways that we support each other that are important. There are calls, there are texts. We serve each other. We meet practical needs. We give financial assistance to each other. We partner together in ministries and reaching people for Christ. And all of these are wonderful and all of these are necessary. But one of the most important ways that God has designed the body to support each other is in prayer. It's praying for each other. So let's talk for a minute about this week of prayer. What is this going to look like at Harvest? On our website, you can just go to the front page of our website and you can click and you'll find this ABCs of Prayer Week. You'll see it there. And there is a there's a prayer guide that all you can just download it with one button, a PDF every day, Sunday through Saturday. There's an A, a B, and a C. A, we pray for all of God's people. And so you notice in that first column, what we've done is we've divided the congregation up. And so every day we'll be praying for those people. B, we will pray for boldness to proclaim the gospel. And what will happen there is you'll be praying for usually two missionaries a day on Sunday. The first day we'll pray for four. And after that, we'll pray for two every day, missionaries that are out proclaiming the gospel. But also notice that little word there at the bottom is all harvesters. We want you to pray for each other as others in Harvest proclaim the gospel as well. And then C is the church. We want you to pray for the church as God leads, but also with the church. And there are many, many opportunities. There are opportunities every single day to pray with the church in some way. Now, I won't go all through the whole sheet. That's just Sunday. We have that PDF continues all through. There's one for every day, an A, a B, and a C. But let me just talk about the C. Let me just talk about what some of the opportunities are to pray with the church. You can see there, Sunday, those who are there in person will be having a special prayer time. But Sunday night, from 6 to 6:30 or 6:45, we're going to have parents and grandparents praying over their children out under the picnic shelter. On Monday, there'll be a virtual prayer meeting from 7 to 8, and the first half of it will be for men, 7 to 7:30, and the second half of it will be for women, 7:30 to 8. On Tuesday, there are three different prayer walks in different parts of our community, led by three different people, and you can walk with them and pray for people in those areas. On Wednesday, there are a couple different opportunities. There's a virtual one, 7:30 in the morning, but also there's a noon picnic prayer under the shelter. We're going to pray together and then bring a picnic lunch. On Thursday, there are three different virtual prayer meetings on Zoom. On Friday, there's one in-person one, 6 o'clock out here in the drop-off circle. But there's some self-guided, like six different times of prayer through the day. And then on Saturday, the final day, there's an in-person prayer meeting. You can see there are just a lot of different opportunities for you to pray. And we want you to, again, on your own, find somebody to pray with every day, and then take advantage of as many of these as you can. God wants members of the body of Christ to support each other always, especially in prayer. Now, football season is back upon us, and when you think about a professional football team, and you think about who are the stars of that team, your mind probably goes to the glamour positions, you know, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the running back. generally, in terms of money, that the player on the team who has the highest salary is the quarterback. He touches the ball every single play, right? On offense, and, you know, he's got the name recognition and all that. But the second highest might surprise you. It's typically not receivers or running backs. It is the left tackle. Now, for football fans and those of you who aren't football fans, you've got the linemen that block and protect the quarterback because you got these defenders from the other team trying to rush in and tackle the quarterback. And most quarterbacks are right-handed. So the left side of the quarterback is called the blind side. And if these people over here on the left side of the quarterback don't block and keep those defenders out, the quarterback can be backing up and surveying the field ready to pass, and somebody can tackle him from the blind side. And that's why those left tackles, which usually weigh more than 300 pounds but have to be very agile, that's why they're typically some of the most highly paid athletes on the field, often second, only behind the quarterback. They may not get the glory of the quarterback who throws the touchdown passes, or the receiver who catches them, or the running back who scores, but every time there's a pass play, that left tackle is protecting his quarterback. And I think the church is like a football team. We have another team attacking us on every play. That's Satan and his forces. That's the world. That's our flesh. We need to block for each other. We need to protect each other. We need to help each other, like just like a left tackle protects his quarterback. But unlike football, we do that best on our knees. Because God wants members of the body of Christ to support each other always, especially in prayer. And Lord, we do praise you for the power of the gospel and the grace that you've given us and all that you've done for us in Christ. If there's anybody hearing this sermon that doesn't know you yet, we pray that by your grace you will reach out to them and they will open their hearts and reach back to you. And for every believer, Lord, empower them, equip them to always be supporting other members of the body of Christ in praying for them and praying for the spread of the gospel all the time, but especially this coming week. We pray it in your wonderful and awesome name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.